Charles, 100.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery. Compromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to the book of St. John, chapter 1. I wanna share with us, but not in the traditional Christmas story. I want to share something that I believe would be helpful for us to see how God gave the man Jesus, how he gave the Messiah Jesus, and how he gave Jesus the mission to save man for the Father's sake, because he loved us so much. And I just want to lift out verse 14 in the first chapter of John. Verse 14, when you are there, say amen. Would you begin reading now? Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in God's presence this morning. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, Jesus Christ, God's gift of grace and truth. Jesus Christ, God's gift of grace and truth. One of the things that I like about John's presentation here is, unlike Genesis, Genesis begin with God in the beginning. God created the heaven and the earth, which is the beginning of those things that we know as this world system, as the creation of all things, etc. If we look at Matthew's gospel, Matthew begins talking about the 42 generations from which Jesus came, and how both Mary and Joseph were connected by lineage. And so when he deals with this perspective, he also brings to reality the fact that a virgin would bear the Son of God, and that that Son would come to save us from our sin. But John starts off not at the beginning of the 42 generations of Jesus, not at the beginning of the creation of heaven and earth, but John starts off at the beginning of the beginning, because he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, first of all, you got to know that it was the Word that spoke everything else into existence in Genesis. So the Word had to exist before the Word could say anything. And so John makes this clear, and he tells us that in the same Word was in the beginning with God. Now again, if you're not clear about that, it's talking about Jesus Christ, the same. He was in the beginning with God. Then verse 3 tells us all things, somebody say all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Verse 4 goes on to tell us in him was life, and he was that life, the light of men. So now the Word tells us he's both light and life, or life and light. However you put it, you can't have light without the life of Jesus Christ. And if you have Jesus Christ, then you've got the light. And the light shineth in darkness, the fifth verse says, and the darkness comprehended it not. So what is clear here is when you take this back, and it is a connection with Genesis, you do remember in Genesis 1 and 3, and the Bible says, and God said, let there be light. And the image is that light just appeared from somewhere, and it started shining. But can I give you a little more accurate depiction of what happened? It was when Jesus, who is the light, and he and God are one, when the Holy Spirit heard the Father say, let there be light, he opened up the vesture of God, and Jesus started shining. He didn't have to make his light shine. He just let his light shine. Are y'all with me this morning? So I need you to know he was the light before the world ever existed. Now listen at this. Listen at this. You go on up to verse 10. He was in the world. The world was made by him. And the world knew him not. Isn't that amazing? He made the world. He was in the world. And the world didn't even know him. But look at what the verse says in 11. He came unto his own. The people that God had predestined him to come and save, the lost house of Israel. And when he went to them to save them, the Bible says they wouldn't receive him. But thank God for this transitional but. It's a contrasting word that literally changes the situation, the motion of the text, because it says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name. See, we were not there, the original Jews. We were not there, the original people of God. But we became a part of God's family when we believed on the name Jesus. How many of you know there's power in that name? I'm trying to work up to where I'm going so you'll have a better understanding when I get there. Listen, which were not born of blood, verse 13, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So that means this very simply, that man didn't do this. Flesh did not organize and coordinate this. All of this happened because of God. And because of that, here's where we recognize Jesus now being manifested in the earth realm. He becomes God's express image of his glory. He becomes the only begotten that touches earth and fellowships with man, the creation that God sent him to save. Listen to what it says. And the word became flesh. God, in the person of Jesus, took on human flesh. It's unthinkable. Some atheists have a problem with believing that a holy God would take on flesh to deal with and live with sinful men when he is pure and holy, and know that he was coming in an evil world. That's one of the reasons why they can't believe that this is real, that this is true, because they can't fathom in their own minds that God himself would take on the form of the flesh he made from the dust of the ground and then fit himself in that dirt? It didn't make sense. One atheist was sitting by the fire, and he was recounting this story, and he said, "I just can't believe a God who is supposed to be just and holy would come and live in filthy flesh and deal with and dwell with evil men. That makes no sense to me. I can't believe this kind of story." Then right outside of his window, there were some blue geese that were fluttering and honking and making a whole lot of noise. And it was the winter time, and they were cold, and they were disoriented. And he kept trying to shoo them into his garage so that he could try and cause them to be warm and to regather themselves. But the geese would not pay attention. The more he tried to get them to go in his garage, they became more disoriented, more confused. And then he said, "I wish for just a minute I could become a geese and talk to the geese in their language and tell them if they just come and follow me in the garage and get warm and get themselves together, and then they can get themselves back together, get back in the air and fly to the warmer climate. But I can't do that." And all of a sudden it clicked. That's what God did. He took on the form of flesh and evil men and dwelt with them so he could talk out of their talk and walk out of their walk and help them explain from their vantage point. I wish I had a witness in the house. He said, "Now I believe what wisdom in God." What wisdom? And so the Bible says again, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his," Jesus's "glory, the express brightness, the brilliance, the perfection, the greatness of God in human flesh in Christ Jesus. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father," meaning the Son, the true Son, the real Son of God. And he said he was full of grace and truth. Thank you for your patience through my introduction. Now I want to get to where I was trying to go. Let's look at these two words, grace and truth. Not going to keep you long. Just want to say a few things about each one. Grace, we know it in various forms. We know the word grace. We sing it in songs. We've experienced it in life. But do we really capture the real meaning of grace? Grace emanates out of God's love. Is love. Love is the motivating force behind the grace, the unmerited favor of God upon man. So grace embodies love, and grace embodies giving. Well, how do you say that, preacher? Well, our famous text, John 3:16, "For God so love the world that he," what? Gave, or giving was motivated by love. And you see, one of the things at this time of the year so many of us miss is that our giving should not be because we're forced to give. Our giving should not be a burden on us. Our giving at this time of the year should be an expression of love, an expression of a desire to be a blessing, to bestow upon one your love for them, your favor for them, because this word grace embodies love, favor, and giving. Those three words. There are so many other words connected with it, but in this particular context, it's talking about, again, love and favor and giving. And God was the greatest giver mankind has ever known, because he was the greatest and is the greatest lover of mankind. He loves man more than man loves himself. So if he loves man that much, then he has no problem with favoring man with life and blessings and healing and deliverance and forgiveness and all of the other wonderful things that he offers to mankind. And so giving is no problem to God. That's why he gave his best and his only in the person of Jesus Christ. The best. He didn't reach back and grab something that would do. He's called Gabriel many times to go down. Matter of fact, four times in biblical history, he's called Gabriel to come down and talk to the people and deal with the people. But when he got ready to save the people, he sent Jesus. He wanted the best that he had to offer. It gives us an example of how we should give back to God. Our best, not something we just haphazardly do, but a sure demonstration of our love for God, our gratefulness for what he has shown us in his graciousness. How many of you honestly know, if it had not been for the love of the Lord, if it had not been for the grace of God, that any of us, not one of us, would be here today? Let me just ask this question. How many can you honestly say he's looked beyond your faults and still is blessing you? Listen, his favor is because of his love for us, not just because of our love for him. And so many of us miss the graciousness of God. I mean, you think about how many times you pray and ask God forgiveness for the same thing, and he's gracious enough to forgive you again and again and again. And how many of us say, listen, three strikes, you out. Aren't you glad God doesn't do that with us? Could you count the third strike when you would have been out? Has been so long ago, you couldn't even remember what the third strike was. But so many of us think we can earn that favor, that grace, that love. It's nothing you could do. And many of us try to hold God hostage. Many of us, Lord, if you do such and such, I'm going to do this. Lord, if you do this, that, and the other, I promise I'll do this. No, you need to do that because it's what the word of God requires. Serve the Lord with gladness. Serve him with gladness. It's not about a negotiation. God, I would do this here, but I don't have such and such. If you give me this or that and the other, I'll do this, that, and the other. So many of us remind me of a young boy who sat down and decided to write a letter to school. You know? But after being in Sunday school and learning about Jesus, the gift that keeps on giving, he scratched out Santa and put Jesus. And when he sat down and started writing, he said, Dear Jesus, I want a bike for Christmas. I want a radio red flyer wagon for Christmas. I want G.I. Joe figurines for Christmas. And he named about three or four other things. And he said, because I've been good for the last 6 months. After a moment of reflection, he scratched out 6 months and wrote, I've been good for 3 months. Then he thought a little while longer and said, if Jesus watches everything and hears everything and knows everything, scratch that out and put, I've been good for 2 weeks. Moments reflection, and he scratched that out, and he got up from the table and he went in the living room where they had the Christmas scene set up with the nativity scene, and he stooped down as if to pray before Jesus. He saw Jesus in the little manger, and Joseph on the one side, Mary on the other side, and the barn animals all around. And after a moment of thinking, he took Mary and wrapped her up in some cloth and brought her to his room and placed her in his drawer. Then he went back to the table and started writing. And he said, Dear Jesus, if you want to see your mother again, give me these gifts. And some of us are just like that little boy who want to hold God hostage about doing stuff for us. I wish I had a helper in the house. You think about how we pray sometimes. Lord, if you do this, and when you do that, and I need you to do this, and before I do that. And that's not how it works. God graciously favors us with so many wonderful blessings we don't even ask for. We don't even deserve. We're not even worthy of. And it comes through his love and through his favor and the fact that he is this world's greatest giver. Everybody doesn't have money this time of year. Some people feel bad because they can't give gifts, can't purchase gifts, can't show their loved ones their love monetarily, physically, or tangibly. And so they become depressed. There are a lot of hurting people at this time of the year. It is suggested that there are more deaths in this season because of suicide and drug overdoses, etc., because people lose sight of the gift of grace that is in Christ Jesus. He is the one that if we focus on him and what he does for us, has done for us, and will do for us, there is nothing in this world that can compare to him. And so when we begin to see that he is love, he is favor, he is giving at its most profoundest level, we find the word truth. Truth. Because verse 17 of John 3 says, he came not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. It's all a part of the gift that God has given. And because he is true, truth is God's word. And Pilate wanted to know what was true. John 17:17, Jesus said, sanctify thy word. Thy word is truth. Truth. So if the word is truth, and Jesus is the personification of truth, which means the truth in living person, then Jesus is true. The three words connected that are a part of this textual reality is trustworthiness, dependability, and the ability to lean on Jesus, to rely on him. He is the one, because he's true, everything he says, he means. His word is true. You can depend on his word. He cannot lie because he is holy and righteous and pure through and through. And so there is nobody else who is more true than Jesus. There's nobody else you can trust more than Jesus. Nobody else you can rely on more than Jesus. No one else you can depend on more than Jesus. And when Jesus says something, you can depend on it because it is true. Old folk, you say, you could take it to the bank and cash that. Because Jesus is true.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
Of Kelly's 30th anniversary. It reads, for all the prayers and support for Kelly's sitting services through the years, we say thank you. It has been a matter of joy to provide great services to clients like you. Kelly's has been fortunate enough to have loyal families as clients throughout the years and loyal employees who love and support God's people. Your dedication, sincerity, and perseverance have made a significant contribution to the continuation of this business that Kelly started 30 years ago on May 23, 1993 in Boyce, Louisiana, and has extended its love to the state of Texas. Our prayer is continued blessings on your life as this agency moves forward in its mission to care for our community. To past employee alumni, again, thanks to you for your support, hard work, dedication, and commitment to changing lives one day at a time.